The whole time, she's talking quietly to herself, and in fewer than 3 minutes, she has what she wants. All I've got is some coconut and a mango in my basket. Okay, let's get you set up, she says. And I bristle and reach for the shrimp, knocking her hand aside. Hey, watch it. Just trying to be helpful, I say. And Hannah bites back a reply before smiling. I was thinking Cassie had a good idea. Shrimp? With? I don't know, I reply, shrugging. Let's see what happens. Back at our bench, Hannah starts cutting up pineapple into bite-sized bits. Then she douses it in some sort of dark sauce. Soy? Balsamic vinegar. It's a slaw. Have you cleaned your shrimp? What? I ask helplessly. You do know you should take out the poop chute, right? Hannah asks, and I shake my head in mild disgust, causing her to let out a sigh. Here, let me show you. She gives me a quick lesson on how to peel and devein shrimp, and I'm shocked at how much work goes into it. What now? I ask. Barbecue? Not unless you want them to have no flavor, Hannah says. Soak it in soy sauce for 5 minutes, and while you do that, grab that garlic paste and the coconut. Hannah abandons her side of the bench to bust open a coconut. She quickly shreds the fresh coconut before mixing it with the garlic paste. Okay, take out your shrimp and... I listen to her orders intensely, following them one by one. Guac, Hannah says, when we're done with the skewering and cooking, running up front with two big avocados. Squeeze of lime, salt, and a chopped up tomato. Mix, done. I nod, getting it done quickly. When it's finished, I dip a finger into taste. I'm not sure, so I hold it out to Hannah. Try? She hesitates, and for a moment, I think she'll refuse. But then, she wraps her sweet lips around my finger, and I'm forced to hold in a groan as my dick becomes rock hard in my shorts. At first, I thought it was genuine. Then she makes a show of it, fluttering her eyes and swirling her tongue around my finger like it's my cock. 2 minutes, Wesley says, reminding us and shaking me back to reality. Hannah grins devilishly at me as I pull my finger out of her mouth and I'm speechless. Shoving down my lust, I hurry to finish up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's it. Hands up, step away. I throw my hands up and step back, amazed that I actually put together a dinner, and look over at Hannah, who's smiling at me. I know I shouldn't trust her, but it almost looks real. We carry our dishes into the other room, where Alani has laid out placemats on the floor, ringing the central area. Now, as a show of respect to your fellow competitor, Wesley says, sitting down easily behind one of the placemats, you will feed your partner the first bite. I sit down and Hannah is directed to sit next to me. We place our dishes in the middle, waiting to figure out what he's talking about. Watch, Wesley says, using his fingers to pick up one of the shrimp I prepared, and he feeds it to his wife. It's a sweetly sensual moment that I feel a bit voyeuristic watching. He smiles at Alani, then looks at the rest of us. Just the first bite. Then eat up. I glance at Hannah, who gulps. While Caleb and Cassie seem to chuckle, I guess their cooking got along pretty good. I turn to Hannah, and she picks up her plate, smiling at me. There's a mischievous spark in her eyes, but I can't for the life of me figure out what she has up her sleeve. Tuna and halibut ceviche. She takes a chip to scoop up the fish mix she made, feeding it to me. As I bite down, the delicious seasoning assaults my taste buds. Holy shit! I manage, devouring it. You're talented. Thank you, Hannah says, letting me feed her the other part of what we made, a lettuce cup with guacamole. There's a little left on her plump lip afterward, and when her tongue flicks out to lick it off sensuously, I feel a tingle start in the crotch of my shorts. Fuck, I wish this weren't just a game. With the formality of feeding each other completed, we start dinner. I'm not allowed to eat anything I prepared, but each bite of Hannah's meal is delicious. I wonder what Caleb and Cassie made, and more importantly, if it's better than our dishes, since they seem to be chowing down happily. The more I eat, the more Hannah smiles. And I start to wonder if she's really enjoying this. I can't get a read on her. A delicious meal, Wesley says, getting up and going over to the side table and coming back with the teapot. Now, a little tea to wash it all down. He pours the tea into cups made of bamboo and brings us all a cup. I toast Hannah, who's still smiling. Maybe it's her game face. Maybe it's real. But my heart is speeding up and I feel warm. The tea doesn't help, and I shift around, realizing that for some reason, I've got major fucking wood. Problem, Tony? Hannah asks innocently as Wesley sips his tea. Shh, let's find out who won. Of course, Wesley says. You can guess that the keys for this competition were not just flavor and presentation, but being the cook who best highlighted and respected the natural state of the ingredients. For it is in the natural state. I try to listen, but my dick is throbbing so hard I'm forced to adjust myself in my shorts. God, I haven't popped wood this painful since I was going through puberty, I think to myself. I feel like I'm going to explode out of my shorts. Or fuck, maybe in them, right here at dinner. I look over and see Hannah stifle a smirk. Then it hits me. Hannah. She fucking put something in the food. So, Hannah, it was quickly obvious that you are tonight's winner, Wesley says. But don't get overconfident. There's more tomorrow. You'll be staying here tonight as my guests. Alani can show you your rooms. We'll get started first thing in the morning. What? Hannah begins to complain, but stops short at Wes's sigh. Let me guess. You insist? Wesley nods with a tight smile. Enjoy your evening. He leaves, and Cassie grumbles about having to stay the night, but Alani doesn't seem to hear her. Hannah doesn't seem as upset. She's probably still reveling in what she's done to me. As we get up from our seats to follow Alani out of the room, I reach out and pull Hannah in close. Her eyes go wide as I press myself against her side, letting her feel how hard I am. What the hell did you put in that food? I demand. She grins and pulls free, going over to her side of the table, where she tosses me a bottle. Something to give you a little kick. Some people claim it doesn't work. She looks down at the huge fucking bulge in my shorts, then back up at me. Looks like they're wrong. She walks away with a huge smile on her face as I squint at the label. There's some Chinese writing. Then in small letters underneath it says, Horny Goat Weed. Turning my gaze around, I watch as she triumphantly struts down the hall, leaving me wishing I could give her a good dicking until this shit wears off. Fuck, man! I groan, turning over in my bed, my cock straining against my shorts. It's been an hour since Alani showed us to our room, and I still have a raging hard-on. I knew she was up to something. I grit my teeth as another pulse jolts my dick. Those sweet smiles, the way she sucked on my finger. Good God, she was playing me the whole time. Dude, why don't you just go rub one out? Caleb says in the single bed across from me. Wes made sure we were accommodated in a small room equipped with two beds. It's not as nice as our suite back at the hotel, but at least it's clean with a view of the ocean. Fuck that, I growl. Then she would have won, when she needs to be taking care of the situation she caused, maybe on her knees. Well, it's a whole lot better than sitting there groaning for the next however long, Caleb laughs. You're right, I say, as an idea suddenly occurs to me, which is why I'm going to do something about it. I roll out of bed, grab my phone, and head for the door. He gives me a look, probably wondering what I'm doing, but not wanting to ask as I walk out of the room. The hallway is mostly dark, just pale moonlight illuminating my footsteps as I find a corner, dialing Oliver's number. I need to give him an update. Hello? He answers after several rings, sounding groggy. Ollie, what are you doing? I whisper. Trying to sleep. It's like, why the fuck are you whispering? Listen, I've got to tell you something. It's about this deal. I hear Oliver curse under his breath, and then some fumbling. but moments later he's back, sounding clearer. What's going on? You're not going to believe this shit, I say, before I tell him everything about Wes, Hannah, and the competition. The only thing I leave out is the hard-on raging in my shorts. Hannah? He asks in disbelief when I finish. Really? That makes this a little more complicated, Oliver says. What do you mean, more complicated? What do you want me to do? Walk away? I ask. But even as I say it, I don't want to. That'll probably mean I won't see Hannah again for another year. Besides, she fucked with me, and I want revenge. There's no way I'm going to let her get away with this. No, we can't do that, Oliver says, relieving me. You said he wants you guys to compete? You can't help that. Just do what he says. Don't play dirty. Be fair. Don't play dirty. Too late for that, I think. Gotcha, I tell him anyway. And Ollie? Yeah? Do me a favor. Get me Hannah's cell number. Oliver sounds confused. Why do you... Never mind, hold on. I'm sure Mindy has it around here somewhere. I hear him go away and come back a moment later. He gives me the number, and I repeat it back to him. Thanks, bro. I hang up and rush to the bathroom, turning on the lights, and whip out my throbbing dick, getting a good angle for a picture of it. When I've got a good shot, I attach a text message. Congrats, you won today. Tomorrow is my turn. I hit send, thinking about how hot she's going to get when she sees it. I know it's going to make her pussy wet. I can tell she still wants to fuck me, but I don't want to go overboard like before and piss her off. Just thinking about it causes me to let out a tortured moan. I reach down, wrapping my hand around my shaft. It's nowhere near as sexy as Hannah's lips when she sucked on my finger, but my brain fills in the details as I replace my finger with my cock, imagining it sliding between Hannah's lips, the way her tongue caressed my skin. She'd feel so good licking and sucking on my cock. I explode, blowing my load all over the shower stall. After I'm done, I rinse the mess down the drain quickly and leave the bathroom with a smile on my face. I wish I could see her face when she opens that text.
Chapter 9. Hannah.
I can't believe he's making us stay here, Cassie complains, lying back on her small bed and sticking her legs straight up into the air. He's like the insane guy from Back to the Future, she says. Fucking nut job.
We're in a medium-sized room in the middle of the house. There are two beds. Not the greatest, but beats being in that room at the hotel with one bed. And it has a nice view of the outside. And I can see the moonlight glimmering against the beautiful waters.
I was pissed at first, I say, sitting on my bed and smiling. But after I thought about how I would have to either sleep in a bed with you or on the floor, I'm kind of glad we're staying here tonight. Besides, I feel so good after my win. And the way I left Tony, that was icing on the cake.
Oh, please, Cassie grunts, squeezing her thighs together.
You're just glad to be near Tony. You want him to ice your cake, don't you?
Hell no, I say sharply. So much so that I'm not sure who I'm trying to convince.
An impish smile comes back to my face as I think about the torture Tony is going through.
But damn, did that bulge look big.
You surprised me tonight. That was an evil stunt you pulled, Cassie says, chuckling deviously.
But hey, I loved it. They deserve it for gloating after beating a bunch of girls in tug of war. You should have told me and let me slip some to Caleb, though.
All his aw shucks charm doesn't hide the fact that he's full of himself, too. I can't believe I got him to wear that pink tank top for team solidarity. I told him we were the C team. Mental note, I guess my Cassie Charmer bit works on him.
I smile evilly, agreeing. I can't believe he fell for my sweet act. He was so into cleaning those damn shrimp that he didn't notice a thing.
Hey, Cass.
Ugh! She groans, sounding as if she's trying to pass gas, her legs still tied together and stuck high in the air. I can't take it anymore. I have to know what the fuck she's doing.
Okay, just what the hell are you doing over there? Trying to lay an egg?
Cassie grunts again and then laughs.
Actually, I'm using a yoni egg at the moment.
Huh? Do I want to know what that is?
Cassie turns her slightly flushed face to me in shock, staring. You don't know what a yoni egg is? It's a stone that women use to strengthen their vaginal muscles. You've never heard of it?
You're exercising your pussy right next to me? Cassie, I just can't with you.
What? Cassie protests. Don't knock it till you try it. Give it 2 weeks and I bet you could make Tony. I shake my head, interrupting her. Let me just stop you there. I told you, I'm not interested in Tony. My phone buzzes and I pick it up. It's late, but I figure it's probably Roxy texting, checking in on me. My smile disappears and my heart skips a beat. My throat going dry as I see the text first.
Congrats, you won today. Tomorrow is my turn.
Then I see the image and my jaw drops. A big, hard, delicious cock fills my phone screen. That fucker. My mouth is watering just looking at it. How the hell did he get my number? Hannah? Cassie asks when I've gone quiet, staring at the screen, lowering her legs and sitting up in bed. What is it?
Nothing,
I whisper, trying to keep my cheeks from becoming too flushed, but I can't tear my eyes away. They're glued to the screen, and I'm pretty sure my eyes are as wide as saucers.
It's something.
You should see your face right now, Cassie says, squirming. Show me! I snap my eyes away from the picture, desire burning my blood.
It's a dick pic.
He sent me his dick. My breath is raspy, and I squeeze my thighs together from the sudden pulsing sensation. The bastard. I can't get the image out of my head. And even worse, I want it. Tomorrow is his turn? What about right fucking now?
He did not. Oh my God, let me see. Cassie pleads.
No! I snap, shutting off my phone and holding it to my chest. I want that picture all to myself.
I'm gonna try to get some sleep.
Cassie gives me a look.
Yeah, you're not interested in him at all, she says with a knowing smirk.
The next morning, I feel more refreshed. And thankfully, Tony's cock has only flashed in my mind a couple of times. Okay, maybe a couple of dozen times, if I'm honest with myself. But the dreams were pretty spectacular, leaving me aching between my legs this morning, and wondering how close they are to the real thing. He's so going to get it. There's a knock at our door. It's Alani, holding some clothes in her hands.
Good morning, ladies. Wesley wanted you to wear this for today's challenge.
What is that?
Cassie asks over a yawn and stretched arms. I don't know how much sleep she got, but I hope her pussy is satisfied with the workout. Mine could sure use one from a certain someone. God damn it, did I really just think that?
Clothing for Hawaiian dancing.
She steps forward and lays a small pile on each of our beds. A red and white floral print wraparound skirt is paired with a simple white bandeau top, a shell and woven necklace, and matching bands, four of them. I guess they're for our ankles and wrists.
Please get dressed. Your breakfast is waiting for you downstairs. And then I will show you the way to the beach.
With a respectful nod, Alani disappears just as quietly as she entered, while Cassie looks uncertainly at her clothing.
Hawaiian dancing? Couldn't we just shake our ass a little and call it a day?
I shrug and reach for the skirt, thinking about how I'm going to face Tony. I can't let him know how much he turned me on. Maybe I'll play it off, act like I never got the text. We get dressed quickly and head downstairs for a breakfast of fruits and some oatmeal. There's no sign of Tony or Caleb, which I'm grateful for. I could use a few more minutes to figure out how I'm going to face him and to get my head right for the competition. After breakfast, we hit the beach. As we walk up, I see Wesley, along with Tony and Caleb, and a Hawaiian man waiting for us. Wesley looks his normal self, but Tony and Caleb, they're dressed in barely their thigh-length loincloths. Shelled necklaces, and nothing else. Half of Tony's face is covered in black tribal designs, and his abs are already glistening with sweat. My breath quickens as my heart rate speeds up, my stomach churning with desire. I'm trying not to think about how hot Tony looks, but all I keep seeing is his perfect cock in front of my eyes.
Remember why you're here. A voice of warning at the back of my mind snaps.
With effort, I tear my eyes away from him. But not before seeing the cocky smile he flashes at me. Fuck, he knows. With Momo perched on his shoulder, Wesley is brimming with excitement as usual, clasping his hands together.
Morning, ladies.
Morning, ladies,
Momo repeats, and I'm surprised she didn't call us bitches or something.
Good morning, we reply, stopping in the shade of a palm tree. Thank God for SPF 50, but I'm not going to bake my ass today unless I have to.
Hope you slept well,
Tony says, drawing my attention back to him. He's got a slight smirk on his face, as if he knows my dreams were filled with one thing. And his eyes say he knows I liked it, too.
Nothing big happened?
How do you sleep? I shoot back, giving him an airy smile. I know those spices yesterday were hot. I hope your bed wasn't too hard for you.
He mutters something under his breath and I grin.
I can give as good as I take.
So today's challenge is traditional dancing, Wesley says. Just as the food we eat is a thanks to the bounty of nature, dancing is a way to express our thanks to the health that the earth has bestowed upon us. While there are many different dances to choose from, I have asked Pete here to help the boys, while Alani has volunteered to teach you ladies.
I feel confidence surge through me. Maybe I can't dance like Roxy, but I can move.
Don't worry, I tell Cassie. I have the best damn teacher ever. I got this. You can sit back and chill.
Hey, she protests. I've got some moves. Just because you are a big booty hoe don't mean I can't drop it like it's hot.
Big booty ho!
Momo squawks, and I glare at her, gritting my teeth. I could so kill that damn bird. Where's Mr. Felix when I need him? I wonder, thinking about my cat I left back home in Roxy's care. Ignoring her, I blow Tony a kiss.
Say hello to your second loss,
I say, shaking my hips. Tony smirks, glancing down.
I have something to shake too, but it's all in the front.
My face burns scarlet at his words.
We are not club dancing,
Alani says first as she lines me and Cassie up.
This is refined, the product of 1,000 years of my culture. Please treat it respectfully.
We're under another palm tree in the main yard, the ground smooth so that we can dance in our bare feet. Across the yard, under another tree, Tony and Caleb are doing the same. Tony sees me looking and stands up from his half squat.
Don't worry, you'll see more than enough later.
You mean we won't see nearly half of what we want?
Cassie taunts back, holding her hands up about 3 inches apart. Alani tuts, and Cassie grins.
Sorry, I'll be good.
As we work, I show off by adding just a little bit of extra pop to my moves, more for Tony's benefit than for actual hula practice. I don't know if it's worth it, though, as Alani notices what I'm doing.
You're supposed to represent the ocean waves and the beat of your heart, she says reproachfully. I told you we're not doing that type of dancing.
Tony, on the other hand, starts really awkwardly with stomping, chest beating, thigh slapping, along with all the grunts and yells. During a water break, I laugh so hard, watching him stumble. As awkward as he is initially, I'm surprised when, after Pete tells him it's a big display of masculinity and power, Tony really gets into it. I realize he's doing really well. Meanwhile, I quickly find Caleb and Cassie dropping behind. I don't know what Caleb's issue is, but Cassie just can't help breaking all the rules.
Pop it, pop it,
she yells at one point, dropping it low and shaking the little bit she's got.
Drop it, drop it.
No, no, no,
Alani says, sounding truly pissed off.
That's not how you do it. Hula is not about dropping it low and shaking your ass. It's about celebrating life.
What do you mean? Cassie asks, strutting and snapping her fingers. I'm giving you life, unlike the cavemen over there.
Bless her heart.
Practice is over. Time to bring you together, Alani says, and I'm nervous as she waves the boys over. Your dance will be a recreation of an old Hawaiian legend.
The legend's pretty simple, really. A warrior and a girl meet and fall in love. Warrior leaves to fight, but returns, and they live together as warrior and bride forever on their island. Alani and Pete demonstrate for us, and it's a beautiful 7 or 8 minute performance. When they finish, she turns to us, smiling.
Your turn.
Cassie and Caleb soon drop out, too hopeless for Alani and Pete to even try helping them any further. They sit off to the side, tossing comments as Tony and I find ourselves working together yet again. My body flushes as I feel more and more of myself pour into the dance. Tony's every movement pulls at me,
and I feel him being drawn to me as well as I dance for him. It's the secret I remember Roxy telling me once. Regardless of whom you're performing for, in that instant, don't worry about the crowd. Focus on making it real, even if only for 10 minutes.
Break!
Wesley says suddenly, and I realize he's been watching us the whole time again.
10 minutes! Rest and have some juice, and then we'll do a final performance.
I should add some extra spice to your juice, Tony says,
his chest glittering with perspiration as he pours me a glass.
I wouldn't want you to tire out.
I've got more than enough left, I tease, and I can't stop my eyes from tracing a drop of sweat down his chest. The final dance is done on the beach in front of the whole house staff, the waves acting as a crashing backdrop as we dance. I feel my pulse pounding and a clenching desire between my thighs as Tony dances, pounding his powerful chest and roaring with a primal ferocity. I'm so into the performance that I feel my mind starting to think like the warrior bride even, and I see Tony as a suitor, not my competition. I feel like he's my warrior, that he'd protect me, give me strong children, everything I could want. When the last beats of the drum fade away and I'm in his arms, I can feel him pressing against my ass, and I can't help but melt into him. I stumble slightly as I step back, quickly regaining my composure as I hear the applause of the crowd.
Well done, both of you, Wesley says, lifting his hands up. You have honored the tale of the two young lovers.
Young lovers! Young lovers!
Momo repeats, and I have to blush. I glance at Tony, who gives me a smile, both of us laughing at the bird's antics.
However, Wesley says, there was one of you who was just a little bit more authentic. The effort, the passion put into every movement, they spoke not only to the legend, but also to the soul of Hawaii. So, Tony, congratulations.
What?
Cassie gasps, and I feel the same.
No way!
Hannah did great, but her dancing felt forced,
Wesley explains, and I kick myself for putting in that hip-hop that I swore would work. So it wasn't pure Hawaiian. But neither is Spam, and they love that shit here.
Also, Tony's growth from this morning to what we just saw was impressive.
I understand, I reply, feeling slightly chagrined.
I hope so, Wesley says. You must understand, these islands were born tens of thousands of years ago. Generations of Hawaiians have lived, loved, and died here. It is from these people's legacy that we are able to enjoy the richness and bounty of what this special place offers us today. It's important to respect the past.
I feel a tear come to my eye, understanding what Wesley means. My whole dance, I wasn't thinking about honoring anything. I just wanted to get another one over on Tony. I wanted to tease him, to entice him. And while it probably worked, I lost.
Well now, it was a fun morning. Let's have some lunch, Wesley says after a moment.
He leads us back toward the house, where we find a picnic set up on the grass underneath the almond trees. As the gentle scent of almonds fills the air, we dig in.
This is delicious,
I say gratefully as I relish the thin, grilled fish.
Wow. So, what brought you to your line of work?
Wesley asks Tony and me.
I'm curious.
My brother, Tony says almost immediately, after he came back to town and started his own company, I really thought about what he offered me. I could have gone with him. I could have gone an apprentice under my dad. Oliver, well, he offered me more freedom. And more respect.
Freedom to dance, I tease, and Tony smirks.
Freedom to be my own man, he replies. What about you? Last I heard, you were working with Roxy.
Wesley's eyes gleam, and I shrug. Franklin Consolidated was just a stepping stone for both of us. I always worked hard, but ultimately, I was going through the motions. Roxy gave me a little extra inspiration when she left. The job wasn't bad, but I didn't love it. I traveled, made a go of it as a photographer, and bounced around a little. It was tough. I felt like I was facing one of two issues. Either I did what I loved and starved, or I did what I hated and made a decent living. Now I'm with Aurora Holdings, and while it's still not my end game, I enjoy it, and I can still do my photography when I'm out at beautiful places like this.
There is more to life than money, Wesley replies sagely. I know that sounds silly coming from a man with money, but I didn't make money to pursue the things I enjoy. I pursued the things I love, and the money found me.
So what do you pursue now? I ask, not ready to go that far in depth with him. To hear more about his own struggles, though. Maybe that's what I need right now to help figure out what makes him tick, and what he wants out of this contract deal.
You'll see after lunch, Wesley says. For now, eat up.
I glance over at Tony, who's cleaned off his face paint and is still eating his food. I can't stop myself from looking at him, but I try to hide it. I swore to myself I wouldn't say anything, but I want to let him have it over the text last night. I just don't want to say anything in front of Wesley. The rest of the lunch is pleasant, even with the little jokes and flirtatious jibes coming constantly from Caleb and Cassie. I swear, those two are going to end up either killing each other or fucking behind a palm tree at some point before this is all over. I glance at Tony again, and the idea of fucking him behind a palm tree has my fingers trembling as I finish eating.
Wow, that was delicious,
Tony says, licking the last bit of tea off his lips and filling my mind with ideas of what else he can do with that tongue.
Is dinner going to be this good?
That's going to be totally up to you,
Wesley says, standing up and dusting off his shorts.
You're going to have to catch your own dinner.
Chapter 10. Anthony. The afternoon is beautiful, with the ocean glittering and large, puffy clouds in the sky, occasionally breaking up the glaring sun. I can't help but have a feeling that this land is doing more than just tanning my skin, like I'm being soaked in more than sweat and UV rays. Wesley smiles at me, as if reading my mind. Saying nothing, he turns left as we reach a section of beach that's tidal pools and volcanic rock, leading us toward an area where the waves are huge and gigantic spumes of mist splash into the air as they crash. As we cut inland and around the rocks, I can feel Hannah's eyes boring into my back. Her struggles of finding her way keep running through my head. I dealt with the same thing for years, and it felt good catching a glimpse of the real her, not just an act to win. It drew me to her for more than just her luscious curves and sexy smile. Thinking of the dance, the way she moved and brushed her body against me. Fuck, I want her. More than that, dancing together brought out something in me that I didn't know I had. I shake my head, trying to clear it. I made a promise, and I need to refocus. Besides, she might want to fuck me, but she hates my guts. But what if she doesn't? A voice at the back of my mind asks. What if it's an act? Questions swirl in my mind as we make our way along. When we reach the far side of the rocks, there's a man waiting for us with a rack of gear. Bow fishing, Wesley says, taking out an unstrung bow. Have any of you ever tried it? Does bobbing for apples count? Cassie asks. What about bobbing for... Shh! Hannah growls, smacking Cassie on the shoulder. I hide a grin. During their downtime from dancing, Cassie's gone all in on the competition. Wearing her bandana around her head, she's even painted her face, and somewhere, she got a feather that she's wearing in her hair, like some sort of Sioux Indian. I don't know if it's offensive to the Hawaiians or not, but I like her spirit. Wesley chuckles and ignores her. He seems to be more interested in Hannah and me. The plan is simple. Jay here is going to give you a quick lesson on how to use the bow, and you'll have a little practice time. Then you're going to work in teams, catching shore crabs for bait. You bait the water, aim, fire, and voila, dinner is served. When he's done explaining, I feel a little anxious. I've fished before, but it was nothing like this. I usually just cast a line, sit there drinking a beer, and if a trout hops on my line, it's great. If not, I grab dinner from the store. Apparently it's more complicated to fish for parrotfish in the ocean than brown trout from the lake. Jay takes over, handing us all a sturdy-looking bow. This is a recurve bow, he says. showing us each of the parts. After showing us how to string it, he checks each one. They're simple, and they're effective. But the ones you have are not that strong. We all listen to him explain. Come over here, he says when he's done. I have some targets set up. Shooting the bow is actually fun, and I find myself enjoying hitting the small balloon targets more often than not. I get frustrated, though, as Jay spends most of his time helping Cassie and Hannah. No, no. You're holding your riser too tightly. Relax your grip, he says softly to Hannah. He steps behind her and lifts his arms to mimic her stance and covers her hands with his own. That's it. I can't help but feel a slight twinge of jealousy. Sure, let him put his hands on you. It's a bow, not a cock, I tease. Just a light touch is all it needs. Hannah's next shot goes wild, making her growl. I laugh, earning a fierce scowl. Jay gives us further instruction, and after we get practice in, we're sent down to the tidal pools and the lava rocks with buckets to find bait. Cassie, for all her fierce appearance, squeals and drops a crab back into the pools. That crab! It tried to pinch me! She wails. Why can't we just use worms or something as bait? I got a big juicy worm you can catch, baby, Caleb taunts her with a laugh. I hope you get a nice double set of claws to the balls, Cassie shoots back. Too bad it won't give us much bait. Caleb winks at me, enjoying the chaos he's causing. I know he's not an asshole like that. He's trying to sow discord, but I give him a little nudge. Like football, man, a little trash is fine, but don't get a damn penalty thrown on us, okay? Wesley's giving us a little space to learn, but he can still probably hear enough. Caleb nods, and right then, Wesley blows a small whistle. It's time. Jay and Wesley lead us to a cove among the rocks, where the waves aren't too bad, and we've got decent footing. Remember, the waves come in sets. You want to try and shoot during the calm between the sets. Jay starts chumming the water, and soon, there are ripples between the waves. Fish. I knock an arrow. Pull back just like Jay showed us, sight and fire. Hitting not a damn thing. Woo, nice one there, Robin Hood, Hannah teases, raising her own bow and firing, but she gets the same result. You were saying? I ask, and Hannah grumbles in reply. For the next 20 minutes, we all hit jack shit, Cassie struggling the worst. I can see what it is, honestly. She doesn't have the patience that the rest of us do. And instead of slowly relaxing her fingers and pulling through like Jay taught us, she's yanking and shanking, as he called it. Finally, just as I wonder if we're going to end up eating nothing but bananas, Caleb gets the first fish, a near-perfect shot on a parrotfish that he pulls out of the water and brandishes over his head. Just when I'm about to gloat, Hannah releases an arrow that strikes home. She struggles and needs Jay's help to pull it out. But when she does, my mouth goes dry. The fish is fucking huge. Easily 2 feet long and almost as wide. What the hell is that? Roy, Wesley says enthusiastically. It's a kind of grouper. Good catch, but it's inedible. Too much poisoning of the waters. I keep shooting, aiming just for the bigger fish, but hitting nothing. Hannah hits another small fish, and now the girls have two to our one. 5 minutes, Wesley says, but I let it all fall aside as I see something that makes my heart speed up. I knock my arrow and pull back, knowing I won't have another chance, and I hope the damn line holds. I let fly and feel the jerk in my hands as I hit. The line starts to fly off my reel, and I struggle as Caleb rushes over, helping support me. It's not like rod fishing. There's no bend of the rod to work with. Jay sees what's going on, rushing down to the water with a spear, and with a mighty thrust he hits home. What the hell is it? Cassie asks, and I'm glad for Jay and Caleb's help as they pull the giant fish up onto the sand. A reef shark, Wesley says wonderingly. A Galapagos reef shark. Hannah and Cassie try desperately to get another shot in, but Wesley soon calls time. Jay runs off to get some helpers, who carry the 6-foot-long shark toward the main house, along with the rest of the catch. "Please wash up. I'll announce the winner at dinner," Wesley says. The four of us head back up to the main house. The girl's quiet, while Caleb is ecstatic. I say little, happy about my certain win, but I keep stealing looks over at Hannah. Watching her shoot the bow, it was sexy as hell. She had a total Wonder Woman vibe going, except for the wrong color hair. Face it, you got lucky. If that reef shark hadn't been there, I'd have lost. Dinner is delicious, if anticlimactic. And it feels nice to wear something besides that hip wrap again, as we gather on the beach for something akin to a luau. Wesley stands up as the roasted fish is brought in, shark fin soup being the centerpiece. "Today, I hope you learned a vital lesson. In the circle of life, we must respect and take only what we need. The ocean is a bountiful provider, but it's not a golden corral." "Today we were lucky," Wesley continues. "One doesn't simply harvest a reef shark with a bow, so that makes the winner pretty obvious. The current tally is Anthony and Caleb 2, Hannah and Cassie 1. 2-1 so far. I should feel good, but looking at the dejection on Hannah's face, a big part of me is uncomfortable, winning at her expense. But my family needs this. Hannah said she's working for Aurora, but it doesn't ring a bell. I'm sure it's some big multinational or something. Knowing them, they'd slash and burn the land around here and put up some sort of damn theme park. Oh, by the way," Wesley says, getting up on his feet and pulling my attention away from Hannah's beautiful yet dejected face. "I've decided that you'll be my guests for the rest of the week as well. Like today, it will make it easier, without you having to transit back and forth." We all kind of look at each other, knowing there's no point in trying to argue against it. That is, except for Cassie. "But what about our stuff?" she asks. "We'll have it taken care of," Wesley says. "If you give Alani your keys, your bags will be delivered by tomorrow morning. And don't look so down," Wesley adds, as he notices we aren't too thrilled about this, but just aren't saying anything. "I think you all know as much as I do, that this visit will change your life, regardless of the winner." "Big booty ho," Momo says again out of nowhere. I'm sure Hannah is ready to take a broom to that damn bird. "If you wake up with a dead bird in the morning," Hannah growls, "don't be mad at me." Wesley chuckles. "It's getting late. Let's get back." On the walk back, I think about it and realize that despite the stakes, we're probably all secretly enjoying this. This place is a hell of a lot more fun than any hotel. It's growing on me. As we walk toward the main house, I feel Hannah fall into step with me. The way through the trees is somewhat narrow, and more than once, I feel her arm rub against me. The trees are lovely, dark and mysterious, with just hints of pale moonlight filtering through them. And in the half-light, I glance over at her. She's more than just sexy. She's angelic, vulnerable, and more. I clear my throat, looking ahead, and Caleb and Cassie have already stalked back to the main house, and we're almost alone. "You look good out there today," I say quietly. "I got lucky." Her lips part in surprise, as if she wasn't expecting a compliment. Thank you. But you won both games." "The dancing was just Wes's opinion," I say, stopping. She stops, and everyone moves further ahead. "Please don't slap me again, but," I add quickly, "the way you moved your hips, that was fucking hot." She laughs, this time not taken aback. "It might have been Wes's opinion, but I can't help but agree with him. You felt like my big, fierce warrior just home from battle." After a moment, she sighs, stepping off the path. I follow her, wondering where she's going. Finally, when the lights from the main house are just glimmers between the trees, she turns to me again. "You know, I wanted to tell you this for a long time after Roxy's wedding. I'm sorry, I overreacted. We were getting pretty hot and heavy, and you were just going with it." I step closer, close enough that I can feel the warmth of her body, even in the tropical night. Fuck, I want her. The only thing you should be sorry for is leaving me with a raging hard-on last night. Oh? Hannah says, taking a half step back. She bumps into a huge rock taller than I am, and somehow, the light from the moon is just right. I can see her face. She's grinning, but at the same time, I think she's turned on too. And sending me that picture was okay? You know, that's a crime in some states. Is it? Isn't that only if the picture isn't wanted? I step closer, so close that I can feel her trembling breath on my cheek, and she can't help but bite her lip. She stutters, at a loss for words. I press my hard body up against her, feeling the soft resistance of her breasts, and she doesn't fight it, but instead moans lightly. I shift my hips, and I know she can feel the hardness of my cock press into the space below her belly button. Tell me, Hannah, did you want it? What did you feel when I sent you the pic? Oh, fuck. I hear her moan under her breath. You left me hanging. I growl, leaning down and whispering in her ear. I can feel her body almost vibrate, and unconsciously, she puts a hand on my hip. She wants me as much as I want her. All fucking night. I had to jack off, thinking about how wet your pussy got when you saw it, wondering if you were touching yourself. It got me through the night. But you're dancing, and watching you be all sexy and powerful with the bow? It's hard for me again, Hannah whispers, and I feel the heat growing between her legs. I can feel it. Good, I say, stroking her hair and leaning in. I want you to feel something else, too. I close the last inch, my lips crushing hers in a searing, passionate kiss. Hannah doesn't resist, her hand on my hip, wrapping around to grab my ass and pull me into her. I knew she wanted this as much as me. Our tongues twist and taste each other, and I bring my hand up, squeezing her breast through her top and pinching her nipple lightly. Trust me, you don't need any secret tricks to make me hard. You do that just by being yourself. And you make me, Hannah says. But I cut off her words with another searing kiss, knowing exactly what I'm doing to her. She lifts her leg, wrapping it around mine, and I can feel the heat from her pussy press against my hip. I slide down, pressing the bulge of my cock directly against her, and she moans thickly in my ear. You feel so fucking good. And it's all yours, I growl before I grab her ass, squeezing and kneading it as she bites my lip she's so turned on. I slide my hand up her skirt and inside the back of her panties, feeling the firm, silky, soft skin of her ass. It's the best ass I've ever felt, and I massage it, Hannah moaning in my ear as I use my free hand to push my shorts down. My cock springs free. And Hannah gasps as she feels it rub against her inner thigh. I run my hand around to pull her panties to the side, feeling the sopping wet heat from her pussy as I do. You're going to be all mine too. She moans, but at the same time she pushes me away, a choked sob in her throat. Wait, we can't do this. I'm sorry. My jaw drops open in shock, and before I can reply, she runs off into the night, back toward the path. My balls are aching, and my cock throbs as it bobs straight out in front of me. But my grin is tight and spreading on my face. Run. For now, Hannah. The competition is just getting heated, and the stakes are a lot higher than just this property.
Chapter 11. Hannah. What's up with you? Cassie asks after I get to our room. She's changed clothes, wearing a little set of pajamas. You haven't said a word since walking in. I sit down on my bed, avoiding her gaze. I'm still burning up from when Tony pressed up against me. I could feel that big, hard throbbing. A sigh nearly escapes my lips as goosebumps prick my flesh. I almost let him have me right then and there, pressed against that rock and my pussy begging to have him.
At the last minute, I was able to summon strength from the depths of my gut. But even now, I want to go find him again and ask him to fuck me raw. Hannah? Cassie presses. Nothing, I reply. Just exhausted. All of this is taking it out of me. You're telling me, Cassie snorts in agreement.
My back feels like I just went through the CrossFit games after that shit with the bow. Why can't Wesley be a normal human being and just sell his property to the highest bidder? No, he wants us to play Hunger Games.
I laugh. It is ridiculous. Cassie bites her lip.
But I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't having fun. Maybe it's all the reality TV I watch, but this is exciting.
I go quiet at her words. I am too, and it's starting to distract me from my goal. Not because of the games, but because of Tony. I don't want to tell Cassie that, though. I'll never hear the end of it. I've got to buckle down and get us back on the right path. Myra is counting on us.
I'm having fun, too, I admit. But let's not let it distract us from why we're here. At the end of the day, we still have a job to take care of. And people are depending on us.
Right. And I have every intention of kicking Caleb's teeth in. He needs his ass whooped.
Cassie growls, and I can't help but try to hold in a laugh. She's so full of shit. Yeah, she might want to beat him, but there's no real malice in her words. It's like she sees him as a rival or something. I chuckle.
That's the spirit.
I yawn, stretching. I lay back in the bed and turn on my side. But it's time to catch some Z's. The crackpot is going to have us doing God knows what in the morning. Good night, Cass.
May the odds be ever in our favor.
Night, Han. May you have sweet dreams of Tony.
I ignore her and try to snuggle against my pillow. I hear Cass's bed creak as she gets settled in.
For a moment it's silent, and all I can hear are the creatures of the night singing outside. Suddenly, their symphony is broken by a buzzing sound coming from Cassie's side of the room. I turn on my side and look across the room. Maybe some sort of giant blood-sucking night bug has come through the window.
What the hell is that? I demand. Then I see what Cassie has in her hand from the moonlight, and I blush in outrage.
Cass!
Cassie looks guilty, hurriedly putting the vibrator back in her bag.
I was just making sure it worked. I wasn't using it.
Ugh, I just can't with you. Go the fuck to bed.
All right, she complains.
We both settle back in, and within minutes, Cassie is softly snoring. For the next 20 minutes, I toss and turn, trying to focus on going to sleep. But all I can think about is Tony, about how his cock would have felt sliding inside me. Fuck, I mutter. Get out of my head. But the more I try to fight it, the more I think about it. I need some fresh air, I think. Shaking in need. I get up from the bed, quietly walking across the floor and outside. I suck in a deep breath of the fresh tropical air. It's a beautiful night. The moon illuminates the land and the ocean, with glints from the water and dappled bits of moon sparkling the land and making it look like I'm looking over a field of pearls. Everything is so majestic and pure. It's the closest I've ever seen to heaven. I go back to my room and root in my bags. I find my camera and pull it out, so moved by what I see that I have to record it somehow. Wesley is such a kook. But in a way, I can see why he always spouts the naturalist stuff. The land is gorgeous. It feels sacred, and I want to cherish it. I walk over to the palm tree near the house and lean against it, sucking in another breath of air as I take in the gorgeous scenery.
Trying to cool off? Asks a deep voice in the shadows.
I let out a strangled cry and drop my camera. Shit! I cry out, picking it up and checking it quickly. Doesn't look like there's any damage. I turn to see Tony standing to my right. He's still got on his shorts from earlier, but he changed into a tank top, his muscles rippling in the soft moonlight.
What are you doing out here?
I whisper loudly. Just when I had something else on my mind, my body remembers what it felt like being pressed against his, and I start to heat up once again.
You almost bought me a new camera,
he chuckles.
I could ask you the same thing.
I was just going back inside, I reply, but he steps in front of me. I start moving around him, but I freeze when he reaches out to grab my arm.
Wait.
I stare at him, not moving an inch. I'm like a bird frozen in the glare of a viper. But something tells me he's not a snake.
Stay. I'm not going to do anything you don't want.
That's the problem. I want you so fucking bad.
It's beautiful out here,
he says, making me relax. Yeah, I agree, my eyes drawn back to the waters. It's absolutely gorgeous. I put my camera strap over my shoulder, keeping it safe. It's a paradise. Tony sighs, then shakes his head.
You know, I've done evaluations and research on all sorts of places, but never something like this. I don't think anyone can say they're prepared for this place.
I know what you mean. It's the first one where I don't know if I'm evaluating as a professional or for myself. Not that I could afford something like this.
I know. Hey, come walk with me,
Tony says, holding out his hand.
I promise, just a walk.
My heart pounds in my chest. This is so dangerous in so many ways. Finally, I take his hand, and I'm thrilled at the warmth and strength in his grip. Walking together, we make our way down to the shore, walking just inside the high tide line, where the sand is still compact. The waves crash on the beach in the moonlight, and it's just gorgeous. Tony is quiet at first, just taking it in. Then he clears his throat.
So, are you going to tell me what happened after the wedding?
I hesitate on going this deep with him, but I can't hide the fact that our social circles are intertwined. I take a deep breath. Life happened.
That's not very specific,
Tony says. Well, after seeing Roxy, I just wanted more out of life than an empty apartment. I tried finding a guy on my own, but dating, well, it didn't go so well. I tried photography, but I had to give it up when the choice was pictures or the light bill. Then I found my new job, and now I'm on this big mission to take this land, and in direct competition with you. Tony chuckles.
Do you really want to win this thing?
I nod, letting go of his hand, to pick up a rock and throw it into the waves. It's not about just wanting to win. Our department needs to show some signs of life. He looks me over silently for a long time, and I turn back to him. In the ghostly moonlight, I see a softness in his eyes.
And if you don't come away with the deal?
Then I'm told we're most likely going to be looking for new jobs, I say shortly. Tony squats down and picks up a rock, tossing it into the waves along with me. He's so elegant that I hurriedly snap a few shots, wanting to catch him just as he is in the moonlight.
I wouldn't want to see that happen.
He sounds sincere, but I have to remember he's a charmer. I knew that from the moment I met him. I lower my camera, curious. And what would you want to see happen? Tony throws another rock before turning and stepping closer. This close, I can barely see him because of the shadows of the night, but I can hear it in his voice.
A girl like you deserves every happiness in the world.
He leans in, and I take a step back, but I can't escape when his lips press into mine again. It's not fierce, but sensually sweet, and he tastes delicious. I let myself melt into him for a moment before we pull back. I should probably get to bed. We have an early morning, I manage. His eyes gleam with amusement as he nods, seeming to say he'll let me go. For now. Tony nods.
Yeah, but I think I'll stay out here a little longer. Sweet dreams.
You too, I reply, turning and heading back toward the house. It feels like my legs weigh 1,000 pounds as I move away from him.
Tony. Watching Hannah walk away, she's like a goddess, her hips swaying in the moonlight before the shadows from the trees swallow her. My body is throbbing from head to toe, lust pounding in my veins. I want her so badly. What stops me from chasing her down to take what we both know she wants to give me was the look in her eyes. I think about what she said and it haunts me. I'm out here for the same reason she is, but the intensity of what she said, what she will lose if she can't ink this deal, that hits me hard. I don't want that for Hannah, but at the same time, I know Oliver is depending on me and trusts me. I have the future of our family in my hands, and I have to make this work. I have to win. I pick up a rock and throw it into the ocean, watching it splash in the inky black water. I feel torn, conflicted. I want Hannah. And for some strange reason, I feel compelled to try to give her everything her heart desires. On the other hand, there's my family.